Chris Horn. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Hey, thank you. I tell you what, you are the king of flexibility, and I appreciate it. All right, we're a week out. Now, the day after our show last week, when everything was so hectic, things were still being signed, I checked at some of the national rankings that changed. I know Rivals, pretty much while we were on the air, put Southern Cal ahead of Florida as number one. Now that you've had a small chance to catch your breath, taking another look at both Virginia and Virginia Tech's recruiting, does it look any different? Have you changed your view of it, or does it shake out about like you thought at the time?
I think it probably shook out, in terms of the final days, shook out the way I thought it would, obviously, with respect to Virginia. Virginia lost 2 4-star running back recruits, which certainly hurt their ranking. So in the end, I think Virginia had a solid class. I think it's not rated too highly. I think somewhere around 40 for the Rivals rank. But it's a class that fills needs for UVA, and it's a class that brings a lot of athleticism to the team in terms of overall athletic ability and speed. I do have Virginia Tech's rated higher in terms of this year's class. I think Virginia Tech got some outstanding players, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And in comparing both programs, Virginia and Virginia Tech, both of them did really well on the defensive side of the ball. I thought Virginia added 5 really good linebacker talents, and whereas Virginia Tech certainly just looked straight at the defensive line to see what I think the strength is of this class. They certainly had some good players in other areas, such as Aaron Brown, the outstanding offensive lineman, and then of course you look at linebacker with Matt Wright, who's the linebacker out of Phoebus High School, who I think is a tremendous get for Virginia Tech at the linebacker position, which I think they certainly needed some quality linebackers in this class, especially given Devion Simmons not being at Virginia Tech, and he was a top recruit last year who signed with Virginia Tech. But and Tech certainly had a lot of athleticism as well. You look at Rashad Carmichael, who's a 5'9", 175-pound kind of cornerback prospect out of Gwynn Park High School in Brandywine, Maryland. Rashad could end up on offense too, but he told me cornerback is where he's going to end up. He's a kid that ran a 4.49 in the 40 at Virginia Tech's senior camp. And then Zach Luckett, who's a wide receiver out of the state of New Jersey. He's a 6'3", about 200-pound wide receiver. He's got a big frame, and he's very athletic as well. So I really like what they did in terms of bringing in some athleticism as well. But back to the defensive line, which is what I think the strength of the class is, you look at Jason Adjipong, who's a 4-star defensive end out of New Jersey, 6'3", about close to 250 pounds. He actually played middle linebacker as a senior this year and played outstanding, extremely well at that position, kind of just a testament to his versatility and his speed. But he's going to play defensive end at Virginia Tech. And then you look at John Graves, the in-state signee out of Meadowbrook High School. And he was really the leader, a huge part of that Meadowbrook team over the past 3 years. That went, I believe, 34-7 after John got there. And Coach Bowles told me that they really built the defense around him. And he's similar size to Adjipong. Adjipong may be a little bit more athletic, I think, than John, but John's got a great he looks like a college player right now. He's 6'3", 240 pounds, and he's a kid that is going to play defensive end, but you never know. He's got a great frame. He could add some weight and become a kid who could play inside and outside, kind of a versatile prospect in that respect. And then Virginia Tech certainly got two outstanding defensive tackles, and Olufemi Ajiboye out of Georgia, 6'2", 290-pound defensive tackle. And then Daryl Robertson, in-state-wise, 6'3", about 285 pounds, is what he'll probably be by the time he gets to Virginia Tech. And he's a very good prospect out of a quality program in Liberty High School in Bedford. And those are just a few I talked about. I didn't mention Mike G, who's an extremely fast defensive end, about 6'1", 240 pounds, out of New Jersey as well. So I still think Virginia Tech did pretty well. I believe they're ranked in terms of national rankings by Rivals and Scout around the 30 area. But I think this is a class that Virginia Tech did really well on the defensive side of the ball, especially stockpiling that defensive line talent.
You know, Chris, I asked you and my other two guests last week the same question. The state exodus really, really still my mind, and my friends at the Romeo Club asked me about it at length Monday. I don't know if you saw the story Jeff White did with very, very little help from me on Sunday, but there were basically four theories put forth. And I want to run each of the four by you and get your thought, whether you agree that that's valid, and if you don't, say so.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was that on your list, on the Rivals list, on virtually every list, wide receivers, you know, top three, top four, and let's be frank, this is not a wide receiver state in Virginia. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I know that Royal and Hyman in 04 were in the high 20s. Clowney led the team in the low 30s. So you're talking about 60 catches for the top receivers in Tech the past few years. That's half a season for some guys. Virginia and Virginia Tech aren't heavy-duty, big-time, throw-to-ball teams. The top flight receivers you're not going to get, valid or not.
Yeah, I think that is certainly a good point. In terms of the receivers, I think this is by far the best wide receiver class in quite a long time, if not ever in the state of Virginia. I mean, looking at Percy Harvin and Dan McDaniel, Chris Bell, Vidal Hazelton, who kind of really wasn't an in-state prospect until he transferred to Hargrave. But, I mean, that class right there of receivers in this year's class is just outstanding. And I think McDaniel was looking at Virginia Tech pretty seriously, and Chris Bell was looking at Virginia pretty seriously as well. And in the end, McDaniel and Harvin, it seemed like from the beginning, both of those guys are really looking towards out of state. And I'm not too sure if that's really because Virginia Tech don't throw to the receivers as much as those schools. Although I'm sure that probably had a factor, and in terms of Florida, I think with Harvin, I think Florida's offense really suits him well in terms of that they can use him in a lot of different ways, like running the ball out of the backfield and as a wide receiver as well. And then and McDaniel obviously going to Florida State, which is more of a known obviously passing offense, passing attack, and obviously one of the top programs historically in the country. So I guess but in terms of Bell, I think he chose Penn State, which isn't a predominantly passing offense. So I think with McDaniel and Harvin, I think I'd agree with that argument, but maybe with some of the others, maybe not necessarily, except for obviously Vidal Hazelton. I believe he ended up at USC. I'm not sure if that's official yet, but I think he obviously USC's got a prolific passing offense, which was a big reason why he chose them.
Okay, let's do one more theory, then we'll take a break and come back and get our other two in. And then, of course, I've got to look ahead a little bit. But theory number two, Harvin was the consensus number one recruit in the country. So a lot of schools that ordinarily wouldn't come to Virginia came to Virginia to see him. And, hey, while you're there, let's look at some other players.
Right.
Now or no.
Well, I think, maybe. This is a special year in terms of, schools coming in. I think there's a lot of talent in the Tidewater area, so certainly, but in terms of, Harvin was obviously recruited, and so was McDaniel in terms of the national kids. Hazelton was as well. I don't think they came just to see Harvin and then offered some of these other guys. It seems like there was a lot of typical kind of in-state, or out-of-state folks, such as Michigan came in and landed Brandon Miner. Michigan has had some success in the state of Virginia before. Penn State came in, and Florida and Florida State, they were involved as well, but it didn't seem like overly amount. Although I certainly wouldn't be surprised to see Florida and in Miami and Florida State tend to maybe come in here a little bit more often, but Florida and Florida State certainly can get their share from the state of Florida, so they don't need to come here too much. But when you have the top player in the state, such as Percy Harvin, then that's certainly a good reason to come. So I guess in terms of answering that question, in terms of whether I agree with that, I think I think that had a factor. People came to see Harvin, then took a little harder look at maybe some other prospects in the state.
Chris, let's get to theory number three. You ready?
Ready.
Schools around the country noticed that Virginia Tech has been to a bowl 13 straight years, that Virginia has a bowl-caliber program pretty much every year.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia Tech last year had 89 Virginians. Virginia has an overwhelming amount of Virginians. Somebody said, hey, there are football players in Virginia. Let's go look. Jim Cavanaugh said he saw coaches from schools he'd never seen in Virginia before. Valid or not?
Well, I think that's certainly, when you look at possibly Miami, who has done battle with Virginia Tech for a number of years now, they seem to maybe have a little bit more of a presence in Virginia in terms of looking at some schools. So I think there may be some merit in that regard, especially with the new ACC. And I think Miami gave a little further look in the state of Virginia. But kind of back to my point before, which I think I may have confused myself on the question number two there, but it did seem like I think, you know, Florida State was kind of a new name, but Florida State really seriously targeted obviously Harvin and McDaniel, who were both at the same school, and then they offered Alex Stadler, an offensive lineman out of Liberty Bilton, who ended up signing with Alabama. But
let me interrupt here. I think the difference between those two theories is some schools came in just because of Harvin. There were some schools that
right.
said, let's go check them out because of Tech and Virginia's success, unrelated to Harvin. But carry on.
Right, I think, I would probably say not particularly just because of Virginia Tech and Virginia's success, although I'm sure the success that, specifically Virginia Tech has had recently will draw more attention to the state of Virginia because just in watching a typical Virginia Tech game, one thing that has definitely brought to the attention is how many players they have from in-state. So I think notification, I guess, the type of publicity is always good for the state, and I think will cause teams to give a further look at the state of Virginia, and especially the Tidewater area, which has always been such a fantastic pool of high school football talent. I think schools have been coming there for a long time, and that's certainly an area that's always been hit. So I do think the success of maybe Virginia Tech maybe helped, but maybe to another point, maybe the just in terms of the ACC, once Virginia and Virginia Tech joined that, I think maybe you'll see Miami and maybe even Florida State a little bit more. Try to come in into the state and take some players.
The other theory is Frank Beamer's pet theory, and it's one I, in particular, agree with. He said it's just one of those weird years
right.
where, for whatever reason, a lot of kids grew up with their eyes on out of state. I believe Brandon Miner was quoted as saying, it's always been a dream of his to go to Michigan. Now, I don't understand that from a guy who's lived in Virginia all his life, me, perspective, but who am I to question Brandon Meyer's dream? If that's his dream and he's got an opportunity to live it, by all means, son, go do it and good luck to you. It's just one of those years. Now, I think he's probably pretty close to the truth. Now, last year, I think with 8 of the top 10 stayed in Virginia. And I think with the added focus on Virginia, you won't see that again. But this year, it was 1 of the top 10, and I don't think you'll see that again either. I think an average reasonable haul is 5 or 6 of the top 10 staying in state. You know, 1 year maybe Virginia will get 4 and Tech will get 2 or vice versa, or maybe they'll get 3. You always have some kids looking beyond the border, but I think 60% is about right, and that Frank has a point. It was just a weird year. A lot of people had their eyes on out of state. You know, Penn State's reemergence this year got a lot of attention and made a lot of people think of Penn State again, where the last few years they've been down. Little things like that all added up and has led to the floodgates, valid or no.
Yeah, I mean, I've agreed with that sentiment pretty much the whole way. I think this is kind of just a funny year is kind of just the way to put it, I think. You look at a few, you know, some of these prospects who were looking out of state from the beginning, and you mentioned Miner, who was seriously talking about Miami and Michigan from the very start. His decision came down to Michigan and Tennessee, but Michigan was a school that just when I started covering Brandon's recruitment, I heard that it was a school that he certainly liked a lot while growing up. So Virginia Tech was able to get back in it with a little bit with him, but was not able to get that official visit to try to pull him away. And as you mentioned, he just decided to go, follow his dream and go out of state. Evan Royster, who's out of a Westfield running back, was another player who was really looking out of state from the beginning. Oklahoma, Nebraska, Florida are some schools that he was mentioning early on. Didn't really even, give the in-state schools a big look at all, throughout the whole process, whereas Miner gave Virginia Tech, somewhat of a look. Harvin and McDaniel, more so Harvin, obviously. Harvin really never really even considered the in-state schools. He was really eyeing Florida, the Florida schools, from the beginning. Damon McDaniel, obviously, Virginia Tech was able to get in with him, although from the beginning, I was told that the Florida schools are going to be pretty significant with him, and it turns out he committed to not one, but two. He committed to Florida, and then he signed with Florida State.
He really liked that state, didn't he?
That's right. So, and then Chris Bell, I think Virginia had a chance early. I think he had a good relationship with Mike London before Mike London left for the Texans, and of course he's back now, but I think that hurt some of Virginia's momentum, and then Virginia just wasn't able to pull it out, and you know, Penn State pulled it out in the end, and you know, I think Penn State's season obviously helped them out significantly there. So I think, you know, other than Virginia, Chris Bell was really just looking at, you know, leaving the state or going to Virginia. Virginia Tech was really never a significant factor with him. So it just seems like the type of year where there's just a lot of kids that were really looking at a state, and, you know, and that's where they ended up going. And, you know, I think it's just – I think both schools, I see them both rebounding in 2007. I'd be surprised if they didn't. And I think your number in terms of 60% of the top 10 – it's usually about accurate because you're still going to get your share of recruits who do leave the state of Virginia, but typically I think Virginia and Virginia Tech will do very well in state, and I'd be surprised if it was a trend, to put it that way. I'd be surprised if this continued. So obviously we'll see, and the 2007 class is coming up here. Actually, it's already here, so we'll see where some of these kids are going to end up.
All right, well, on that note, we will officially close our discussion of recruiting 2006 unless something crazy happens before we talk again in 2 weeks. And now we will join the recruiters, and we will look forward to 2007 a little bit. I know you haven't ranked juniors yet. I do want to take a moment, Chris, before I ask you my question. Doug Dowdy of the Roanoke Times, been in the business a long time, a guy whose skill I respect tremendously and has a good feel for recruiting in the state. He does rank the juniors, and he has his top 30 juniors out. I just want to give the names of the kids from Richmond area now, and then, Chris, I'll ask you your thoughts on some of these kids. You know, we'll have you back in 2 weeks. We got about 6 weeks worth of show left. We'll talk a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, but when we come back in August, basically what I'm going to ask is, you know, who are the kids we're going to be talking about first and foremost? I know number five on Doug's list is Devon Morgan, a quarterback from Verina. Number nine is C.J. Fleming, a defensive back from Highland Springs. Number 11 is tight end Kevin Estes of Benedictine, and I'm going to assume that's Patrick Estes' brother. Number 12 is Chris Bird, a wide receiver from Atoka. Number 13 is Jamar Jackson, a linebacker from Verina. Number 18 is not Chris Horn, but Chris Hill, a defensive back from Highland Springs. Russell Wilson, who I believe is Harrison Wilson's brother, a quarterback from Collegiate in Richmond, is number 20. He only ranks 25. Normally he goes 25. Chris goes 30. First of all, do you know Kevin Estes from Benedictine? Patrick Estes' brother?
Yes, I believe it is. I'm actually working on trying to get some more information on him, but it's just a similar. I think his brother may have been bigger in high school, but Kevin's got excellent size, about 6'5 or 6'6, 220, 230 pound range. And looks like he's going to project at the same position probably that his brother did, which is tight end on the next level.
One thing interesting about Doug's list, Chris, you know, we were talking about the domination of wide receivers on this year's list.
Mm-hmm.
His top five, three quarterbacks and two running backs. Number one is Tyrod Taylor, quarterback at Hampton. Number
mm-hmm.
two is Peter Lawless, quarterback at West Springfield, listed at 6'5", 225. Then you've got Kevin Simmons, a running back from Kempsville. Kevin Krause, a running back from Pulaski County, and then Devon Morgan, the quarterback at Verina. So this year was receivers' years. Looks like next year it's going to be quarterbacks and running backs. What's your take on some of the best juniors? Who are the guys that we're really going to be talking about heavy when we come back in August?
Well, I think the first player you look at probably is Tyrod Taylor out of Hampton High School. He is definitely projected as a quarterback on the next level. He's a solid 6 foot prospect, maybe close to 6'1", but probably 6 foot is a good. Range to put him about 180, 185 pounds. Tyrod is a dual-threat quarterback, and obviously Hampton's had its share of outstanding dual-threat quarterbacks such as Ronald Curry and Marcus Hagans and some of those guys. And Tyrod Taylor, just another one of those guys in that line. And he's got a number of offers, including Virginia and Virginia Tech. At this point, I believe Virginia Tech may have been one of the first to officially offer him, along with North Carolina. And Tyrod's the real deal. He plays basketball as well, but he's just a phenomenal athlete on the football field and has a very good arm and just an outstanding prospect. You mentioned Peter Lalique, who's obviously you mentioned his size, which is really stands out. 6'5", 235 pounds out of West Springfield. Really came on as a junior this past year, and he's got offers right now. He's got an official offer from UVA, and he's got an offer from Ohio University. He's also getting looks from schools such as Arizona State, Notre Dame. I believe Michigan's given him a look as well. Of course, in some local Division I or regional Division I-A schools are giving him a look right now. He was actually first team all combine at the junior combine down in San Antonio last month. So he had a very good. He's got a very strong arm, and we've mentioned that his size is pretty good. And he actually moves pretty well as well. He actually played wide receiver earlier on in his career at West Springfield. And then Devon Morgan out of Verina. He's a kid that really stepped up. Brandon Miner went down with an injury during his senior season, and junior quarterback Devon Morgan stepped up and really took that limelight that he had and ran with it. Really had an outstanding year for Verina, led that team basically while Miner was gone. And Morgan, though, even though he plays quarterback for Verina, I believe he's been offered as a quarterback by the University of Richmond, but he's getting looks mainly for the defensive side of the ball, and the safety position is probably where he would end up. And Virginia Tech has offered for as a safety, and Michigan has come in with an offer as well. And I know Morgan does like Virginia Tech a lot. He's been to some practices and has a great relationship with the coaching staff and everything. So Virginia Tech's probably feels pretty decent at this point, but we'll see. It's such a young process right now that we're just starting to get into it. So those are certainly three names to mention. Devon is certainly a very good dual threat type quarterback, but on the next level, I think he's probably going to end up as a defensive back. But along with Lalique and Tyrod Taylor, those are at least three very talented prospects so far for next year.
Okay, well, those are the names to know. And Chris, you have been a huge help throughout the 2006 recruiting season. I'm looking forward to 2007. The Tech Beat will be back for its fourth season, and those are just three of the many names we'll discuss between now and then. You get out of here. I appreciate you being flexible with taping this afternoon. Enjoy your week off. Do not think of me at all next week. But when we regroup in 2 weeks, we'll talk a little hoop recruiting.
Thanks a lot, Mike. I really appreciate you having me, as always, man. It's always a pleasure.
Okay, thank you. Chris Horn with TechSideline.com recruiting.